walk. And I say that in a very loving sense, and also I'm guilty as well sense. Sometimes we pass over prayer and we kind of put that in the back instead of bringing it to the forefront of every situation in our life, not just bad, not just the trials, not just the tests, but in the times where we rejoice, where there's times of abundance and just amazing times in our life, to still keep prayer at the front of our walk with Christ. It is equally as powerful and strong as the Word of God. We have seen through the Scriptures where time after time we are told to pray, pray without ceasing. We are told to pray, we are told the power of prayer, and we are always encouraged to pray, pray, pray. In fact, the two offensive weapons, if you will, that we see in the book of Ephesians, where he speaks of the armor of God, the two things we have to come back against whatever it is we're facing in life and the enemy, our flesh, the world, whatever it might be, number one is the Word of God, the sword, and prayer. Prayer changes everything. And I mean everything. Every situation that we face in life, prayer not only changes that particular situation, but it changes the situations around it, and it changes us as well. It's a full circle. Prayer changes everything. And so tonight we're just going to touch on a little bit on the power of prayer. And so if you have your Bibles in front of you, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. If you need a Bible, slip your hand up and one of the guys will bring you one. We want you to follow along with us in God's Word. It's so important. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Just to set the scene a little bit, this book is being Timothy. This is a letter from the Apostle Paul to young Timothy, who was a young pastor that Paul discipled. He was very close to Timothy, almost like a spiritual father to Timothy. He discipled him. He trained him, you know, and he spent much time with Timothy. They were dear brothers in the Lord. They labored together in the Lord. They were in ministry together. They went through trials together. And young Timothy at this time is pastoring throughout Ephesus, which at the time was under heavy, heavy Roman oppression. Heavy Roman oppression. In fact, the Roman Empire was led by crazy madmen like Nero, who was just as nutty as could be. This man was a lunatic. And the way he persecuted Christians wasn't just, oh, you can't talk about the Lord. No, he did horrible things. As far as went and dipped them in wax and lit them on fire, and he would scream and shout things at the Christians as they were burning to death. Now you're the light of the world, Christian, Jesus follower. He was a man that would dip Christians in tar, cover them in feathers, and throw them in lions' dens. And say, where's your Savior now? It was entertainment to him to put Christians to death. So young Timothy was pastoring and evangelizing throughout this area. And so as we read these words, I want you to keep in mind, when he's called to pray for all who are around him, all who are in authority, all kings, I want you to take a look at what we have in this beautiful country here. And no matter how bad of a president or how bad of a governor or how bad of any Republican or Democrat or whoever, we have the freedom here that they did not have in Rome. The Christians in Rome were heavily persecuted. So young Timothy was preaching in a very rough environment. And Paul writes this letter to Timothy to encourage him in many different aspects of the ministry, but he spends a lot of time through 1st and 2nd Timothy on the focus of prayer. Because in ministry, whatever your ministry is, and by the way, we all have a ministry. Every one of us are ministers. That's what we're called to be. Your ministry might be at home with your children. Your ministry might be at your job. Your ministry might be out on the street. Whatever God has you doing, if you're doing it unto Him and doing it as unto Him, it is your ministry. And so we all have a ministry. And at the front of that ministry should always be prayer. Prayer should always lead the ministry, because we desperately need the Lord's leading and guidance in every aspect of our life. The enemy would tell us to take things for granted. The enemy would say, just give thanks for your food. Don't worry about the rest of the stuff. He would say, don't worry about praying for this guy over here. Everybody's praying for him. That's a lie, though. We're to pray for all men, as we're going to read here tonight. And so before we get into the scriptures, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this evening. We thank you for this time together in your precious word, Lord. Lord, we are so helpless. Apart from you, we can do nothing. God, we recognize tonight your awesomeness. We recognize tonight that you are our all-sufficient God. We recognize, Lord, that we need your help. We can't apply these things. We can't take these things into our heart without you, Lord. So, Father, I ask you, search our hearts tonight. Any sin that's in our hearts, anything that's hindering from us hearing from you, I pray that even in the quietness of our soul, we would confess those things to you, Lord. That you would cleanse us, that we could be filled fresh with your Spirit this evening, so that we could hear from you and we can apply these things to our life. God, we love your word, and we pray that anything good that comes out of this message be from you, Lord. And may nothing be from me. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read verse 1 through 7, then we'll go back and expound a bit on the first few verses. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Back in verse 1, at the very beginning, Paul says, I exhort, first of all. Even the word exhort or exhortation, that very word, sometimes and oftentimes in other translations, has been given as urge. The Greek word for exhort is parakaleo. Now, this is an important word to remember tonight. Parakaleo is the same word that is used for the Holy Spirit as a comforter. A correct translation of this particular exhortation would mean to call near and be of good comfort as you hear. So I pray that tonight we would come near to the Word of God, that we would hear the Word of God tonight, and that we would be comforted by the Word of God as God changes us. He exhorts, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. This is, he says, first of all, meaning this is the priority of prayer. This is what makes prayer so important. And all the things that are going on throughout Ephesus and all the craziness and all of the false idol worship and false God worship, everything Timothy's dealing with, Paul says to Timothy, first of all, before anything else, this is important, prayer. And right now we're going to look at the priority of prayer. And throughout these scriptures, we're actually going to look at 4 points to prayer. First being, as we're going to see now, the priority of prayer. Second is the variety of prayer. Third is the objects of prayer. And fourth being the reason for prayer. So we're going to look at those four keys tonight. And first is the priority of prayer, just in this first sentence, these three words, first of all. It indicates the crucial importance of prayer in the church. It is, in fact, an act of worship that should be considered as, or just important as, the Word of God. In that we have, as Christians, this wonderful gift between God and man to communicate with our Creator. And it has been rightly said, much prayer, much power, no prayer, no power. Prayer changes everything. We must recognize the importance of prayer tonight. As we look into the scriptures, we must recognize the importance of prayer. When we find ourselves in time of despair, we tend to turn to prayer. But how often do we pray, as I mentioned earlier, in times of joy, prosperity, and of abundance? I have an interesting quote here. It says, I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. To discover my own wisdom and that of all about me seemed so insufficient for that day. That was President Abraham Lincoln. There must be at the front of our walk with Christ prayer, communication with our Heavenly Father. Prayer must have priority in our life, in ministry, relationships. Every aspect of our life should be led by prayer. Because as the show stated, Father knows best. And we have a big daddy. He knows what he's doing. He is the best at what he does. And he wants to lead us and guide us and direct us, correct us at times. Because he loves us. It was Corrie ten Boom who simply stated this, and I love this quote. She said, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Is prayer at the front of everything? Or is it what we pull out when we get a flat? Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, where are you? I need you, Lord. But all along, prayer should be at the front. And Paul is declaring, even in these first, are these three words, first of all, the importance of prayer. To know how important this is, he's declaring to Timothy the importance of prayer. Now he says, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. At this point, we're going to look at four different varieties of prayer here. The supplications, the prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks. We're going to just kind of sit on and meditate on these for a little bit. First of all, the word supplications, the Greek word is deesis. It means middle voice, to beg, beseech, or petition. Also, the word supple in itself means to be humble and flexible. So a proper definition of supplication here, and a way to apply it would be offering a request to God with a humble heart, but also being flexible to receive what his answer is. Chuck Smith used to say, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not break. We need to be flexible with the answers God gives us. It might not always be what we think we need, but he will give us the answer that's best for us. So when he says here, first of all, that supplications, he's saying, come to God, offering your requests with a humble heart. Come with a humble heart. You know, James 4:6 reminds us that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Charles Spurgeon was quoted as saying, "When praying, you are before the Lord, so let your words be few, but let your heart be fervent." You know, it's the humility before the Lord that blesses our Father. When we come to Him knowing we don't bring anything, we don't bring something that's going to say, make the Lord say, "Oh, well, I'm listening to you because that is special." All right? He's not a respecter of persons. He loves us all the same. But when we come to Him, recognize that we don't bring anything to the table. We're coming just broken sinners saved by grace. And hopefully just come as an empty vessel and let the Lord do what He wants to do in our lives. Be flexible, folks. That's the supplications. The next one we see is prayers. Now, He's not excluding this as prayers and vast majority of prayers altogether praying. This is actually a term and a type of prayer. This word here, prayers, it emphasizes the sacredness of prayer. That it's sacred, it's holy, it's sanctified for the Lord. It's conversation between us and the Lord. The Greek word for prayers here in this text is prosyokeia. It means worship. Worship. Prayer is a sacred time with the Lord. Recognize that when you're in prayer. The Lord looks at it as a sacred time with Him. It is an act of worship in itself, prayer, when we must have reverence in our hearts as we worship Him with our prayers. So we come to the Lord humbly, ready for whatever He has, knowing we bring nothing, recognizing He's all-powerful, He's God. But then, when we come to Him, we recognize it's a sacred time with the Lord. It's a special time. Don't forsake your prayer time with the Lord. It is so easy to just, as I mentioned earlier, pass over time of prayer with Him. Or the repetitious prayer, the one that you always got in your pocket. You know, that's what the Pharisees did. They prayed the repetitious prayers out on the square so everybody could see how holy they were. Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. He says, "You neglected the widows and the orphans." He even went so far as to say, "Your father is the devil." Don't pray in repetitious. No, it's a sacred, holy time with God. It's a special time with God. It's a gift from God. And so the prayers there are simply that, recognizing it's a sacred time with God. The next word we see here is intercessions. Making intercessions for others. The Greek word is entyuxis. It means interview. It's interesting. It means interview. As we look at the word intercede, it is defined to intervene between parties with a view of reconciliation of their differences. It's to come and stand in the gap. Or another great word would be to be a mediator. Right? You mediate between those who are unsaved, those who are saved and just can't pray. You stand in the gap and you mediate between them and God. You have an opportunity to help build a bridge, if you will, between whoever it is you're praying for, their deepest need, whether it be salvation, if they're not saved, which is number one. But if they are saved, whatever that need is, you get to help bridge a gap between their need and God's perfect loving will for their life. You get to be that bridge. That is what intercession is. Coming up here in verse 5, we see there's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We know that Jesus is making intercession for us right now. As Romans 8:34 tells us, It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and for me. This, you can't miss this. We as Christians are to reflect Jesus in our life, correct? When others look at our life, they should see at least some Jesus in our life. Something that reflects Jesus, that reflects who God is, his character. There should be something in our life that reflects who he is. God has given us the gift to reflect being mediators here on earth. As his son is the mediator between God and man, and as Jesus is interceding for us on our behalf right now, we're here on earth and we have a chance to intercede for others on their behalf to God. And it's, again, we get to be a bridge to fill that gap, to fill that void. When we intercede on the behalf of others, we build a bridge, as I mentioned earlier, from their deepest needs to God's wonderful desires. Because we know that God desires that none should perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of the truth. And we get to stand in the gap for those who are lost. We get to be the bridge makers for the world, for all men. Intercession, prayer is so valuable. I can't tell you how valuable it is in the church. It should be in the top. It should be at the forefront of every prayer meeting, every prayer group, interceding for those who are lost, those who are hurt, suffering, whatever it is, sickness, interceding on their behalf. Now we know that we've come to God humbly, ready to bend to whatever God's will is for our life, knowing we bring nothing to him. We know that this is a sanctified, holy time when we're in prayer with him. But now we take it even a step further, knowing that now we get to stand in the gap with the needs of others and lift them up to our Lord. Lift them up to God, because for whatever the reason is, they can't. It might be they're not saved. It might be they're just so weak and so far in the fire or the trial that they're in right now that they just can't even utter the words to pray. And we lift them up to the Lord. And we stand in the gap. And we pray for them. We pray for those who cannot pray. We pray for the lost, that they might be saved. Because we know that that is God's desire. And he wants to accomplish his desire and his will through his children, us. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing that God would use us, a bunch of cracked vessels, if you will, to let his light shine to the world through? We get to be the bridge, as Jesus was the bridge for us. Next, we see the giving of thanks, which is also so important. Now, the giving, it says giving of thanks here, but translated from the Greek, it was originally one word. And to break it down into a language we understand, they put giving of thanks. It seemed to make the most sense. But the actual word for giving of thanks, the original Greek word is eucharistia. That's the Greek word. Do you know what it means? This is so cool. This is so cool, church. It means grateful language to God. A special grateful language for God and to God. Also, equally an act of worship. Giving of thanks is a very important part of our worship and prayer. As we show appreciation for God hearing and answering our prayers, we also thank him for who he is, for what he has done, for what he is going to do. And so in giving thanks in our prayers, we are praising and worshiping God. I love that. I'm going to say that word again. Eucharistia. Beautiful word. A grateful language to God. I want to turn, if you want to turn with me, in case maybe tonight, maybe you're just not feeling so grateful. Maybe you're not feeling so thankful. I go through those seasons where I'm just getting hit by so many things, it's hard to give thanks. I want to read Psalm 103. If you want to turn with me, you can. To the left. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." This is just a reminder of thankfulness, guys. "Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, hallelujah, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. And as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field. So he flourishes, and for the wind passes over it, and it is gone. In its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. It will never go away of those who fear him. And his righteousness to the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." I like to call that a thankful checklist, that psalm. If I find myself in a place where it's just hard to give thanks, you read through that psalm and you're reminded of all that God has done for us. And you know, even no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through right now, God is with you. He hasn't left you. He hasn't separated himself from you. He's with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The trials come, the fires come. But folks, we need to be purified. We need the refiner's fire. We need those times to get the edges off of us, to shape us and mold us down, to reduce ourselves. You know, in all actuality, we are to come in this walk, this Christian walk, we are to walk as dead men. Dead to ourself and alive in Christ. Placing aside everything that we want and saying, "God, I want what you want for me. I want your will, Lord." Coming to him as dead men and alive in Christ. So looking at those four points of prayer, we can go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2 if you're not already there. The supplications and the prayers, the intercessions, and giving of thanks, wonderful key points of prayer. But now, he really brings it home, let these be made for all men. all men. And then he goes on to say, for kings and all who are in authority. Now again, we look at what young Timothy was facing at this time in Ephesus. Now, I know we've had problems in government and praying for certain individuals, and you know, and we're called to pray for them, and it's been tough. It's been challenging, to say the least. But we look at Timothy, look at what's going on in Rome at this time. And folks, it was so much worse than we can even imagine having it here. It was so much worse. The persecution was rampant. Rampant. Christians were meeting in caves and little dwelling places, meeting in the dark, secret church everywhere, underground, because of the persecution. And now Paul is saying, Timothy, urge your congregation to pray for all men. He doesn't stop there, but he gets specific. He says, for kings and all who are in authority. So, praying for all men, all kings, all who are in authority, this means everyone, gang. Everyone, absolutely everyone. It means the friends we have, enemies we have, sinners, saints, Republicans, Democrats, law enforcement, lawbreakers. We are to pray for all men. I love what Warren Wiersbe said in regards to this particular verse. He said, all men makes it clear that no person on earth is outside the influence of believing prayer. And I'll say that again. The statement, all men, makes it clear that no person on earth is outside the influence of believing prayer. Prayer changes everything. It changes every situation. If it's a person that you're having issues with, if it's something going on in a relationship, friendship, whatever it might be, again, it not only does God start to work on that person, but he's also working on you. He's also working on the situations that are surrounding them, leading them up to where he wants them. See, it's been described as this, and I really love this picture we see. God is making this amazing tapestry. You may have heard this before. But if you look at the back of beautiful tapestries, you know, the tapestry itself is beautiful, but you turn it around and look at the back, and it's a bunch of ugly knots, ugly colors, nothing looks right. It is completely a mess. But when you look at the front of the tapestry, the finished work, and what it's made, it's beautiful. So God is working this tapestry throughout mankind. And he has been since the beginning of time, since the fall of man. God started a tapestry work. And he started tying the knots. And he started bringing these peoples in over here. And he started bringing peoples in over here. And then he started raising up kings here. And then he started bringing kings down here. And then he started raising up prophets here. And then he brought prophets down here. And then boom, he sends his son. He sends God in the flesh to come down to this earth. To be as a child, to be a babe in a manger, to dwell among us, to live a sinless and perfect life. And then he takes it even further, and his son, Jesus, goes to the cross and pays for our sin, pays our sin debt in full. Completely paid for, completely redeemed. The work is finished on the cross. But God doesn't just stop there. Now it's time to send these believers in Christ. Now they go out and they start planting churches. They start sharing their faith. The whole world is turned upside down because all these couple handfuls of men, they get together, they pray. The Holy Spirit comes upon many men and women. And then all of a sudden the church is on fire. So God's still tying the knots, right? He's still tying the knots on this tapestry. People are going through trials. People are going through testing. Some people are going through just wonderful times in life right now. Everybody's going through different phases in their life. but I promise you this, that you are in the hands of God, and He is using you in this tapestry that He's making. He's tying these knots, and you're a part of that. And it might seem ugly from this side, because the colors don't make sense, the knots don't make sense, sometimes the trials don't make sense, but one day, God has promised that we are going to be revealed in His glory, and we will see that tapestry face to face. We will see Jesus face to face. So don't give up heart. Don't give up heart in your prayer time with the Lord, because these times we live in are so important. We are so close, gang. We are so close to the return of Jesus. We need to be prayed up. We need to pray for our children. We need to pray for our schools. We need to pray for our missionaries throughout the world. We need to pray for the persecuted churches that are all throughout the world. We need to pray for those who are homeless on the street that have no place to go. We need to pray for the mother who is strung out and her children are being brought away by CPS. We need to pray for the widows. We need to pray for the orphans. We need to pray for all these people. Prayer changes everything. The prayers of a righteous man avail much. And folks, that is not some unattainable thing. We think, oh, well, that's for the righteous. I'm not righteous. No, we're not. But Jesus Christ is righteous. And we have been robed and clothed in the righteousness of Christ so that when we come to the Father, we are coming in the righteousness of Christ. And He says, the prayers of you and me as believers in Christ avail much. Your prayers avail much. Don't stop praying. That's the object of our prayer. All men, all kings, all in authority, the whole world. That's the object of our prayer. And He says here, the reason for our prayer, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. This is God's will for our life. This is His desire for you and me, that we would take time to pray for all men, all in authority, kings, that we would pray for everything, that we would just be lit on fire with prayer, talking to God throughout the day, just communicating, everything be led by prayer. We lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. And that's what happens when we pray. When we pray for the situations that are hard, God supernaturally comforts our hearts. If it's a feeling of desolation, He touches our hearts to remind us that He's here with us. If it's just discomfort and going through pain and struggle, He comes alongside and comforts us. He encourages us. He strengthens our heart to endure, to get through whatever it is we're facing. The reason for prayer, not only to lead a quiet and peaceable life and in all godliness and reverence, but this is God's plan. This is His desire that we would do this. Because His desire is for the lost to be found. He desires, again, that no one should perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of the truth. Now, we know the Holy Spirit is upon the earth convicting the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Okay, we know that. But God has messengers. He uses you and I to be a light in this world. Again, so that when people see you and see the life you live, that they might see Jesus in your life. As the scriptures tell us, taste and see that the Lord is good. And if somebody sees Jesus in your life, they're going to go, man, I want that. I want what you have. I don't know how you're doing this. I don't know how you're getting through this. Or I don't know what it is, how you have joy, but I want that you have. Whatever it is, open door, wide open. Let me tell you about Jesus. It's an open door. Prayer changes everything, folks. pleases God for his children to pray and seek him. It pleases him. It blesses the heart of the Father. By praying, we find a peace from God that surpasses all understanding through prayer. When we think of praying for others and praying for other situations and things that are going on, at the same time, God is continually working on our hearts and allowing us to find peace in whatever it is we're facing. He is the Prince of Peace. We know that God desires all men be saved. And again, we see that when we pray for the lost, that indeed does bless the heart of God. It changes us. Prayer changes us. And we can't expect to be an influence on someone else or another situation until God has first influenced us and dealt with us. We desperately need him, is what I'm saying here. We desperately need him in everything. You know, Jesus said, I've come to give you a life, life more abundant. He wasn't talking about just living a life of luxury and no problems and no trials, just, you know, everything's just great. He was saying he wants to give you the life that God has for you. He has a life for us, and we can only tap into that through prayer. We can only tap into God's will for our life through prayer. We'll miss out on the blessings if we don't. We miss out on seeing God's hand at work when we don't pray. And I tell you, honestly, I'm so thankful for scriptures like this, because as I was reading this, even again, God was convicting me on some stuff. And you know, I was so thankful. I got to get a right perspective again on prayer and not just take it for granted. You know, no more repetitive prayers, but just sometimes maybe just a few words. And here's my heart, Lord. Your will be done. I trust you, God. Oh, Lord knows I trust you, God. That should be our heart. You know, it was Spurgeon who once said that anything that brings us into prayer with God is indeed a blessing. Whatever it takes. John Bunyan wrote once, he said, in prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart. Sometimes we don't have the words, and that's okay. Sometimes it's just sitting and waiting on the Lord. Take some time each day. Take time in your day to seek the Lord. Sometimes you just need to sit and wait. Just wait upon the Lord. Let him renew your strength. Let him rise you up on wings like eagles. And let him give you the strength so that you may run and you may walk. You will not faint. You will not stumble. Let him do those things as you wait upon him. This prayer that we're seeing tonight, Paul is saying these things to Timothy. The Lord is speaking these things to us tonight. Don't take prayer for granted. It is a truly awesome, amazing gift God has given each and every one of us to communicate our hearts with his. It is such a privilege to pray to God, and he hears our prayers. Paul then reminds young Timothy here. He says to Timothy in this, that for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, verse 4, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He then goes to remind Timothy, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Folks, we need to start to testify of our Lord and Savior Jesus now. You are a walking testimony. If you allow God to work in your life and you're being led by prayer and led by his Spirit, You are a walking testimony, and you will be testifying of Jesus wherever you go. God desires to use you. He will use you in whatever capacity you allow him. You know, when he created us, even before the fall, it was all the goodness of God, all the love of God, everything that man could withstand, he poured out on Adam. He let him see his goodness. And folks, that wasn't even scratching the surface of his goodness. One day we're going to see that awesomeness come to fruition. One day we are going to, as I said, we will be revealed in the glory of God. There is no priest we need to go to. Hallelujah. There is no man or cleric that we can go see that is going to bring us into a relationship with God. Not going to happen. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Only Jesus. Jesus paid it all. Jesus closed the gap. He built the bridge. Jesus is our mediator between God and men. And he allows us to mediate for others. You have to see this reflection. You have to see how God is doing this. This is just so amazing that God has given us this gift to represent him and be the mediators down here. Don't take it for granted. For which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle, I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth, Paul says. Timothy, I'm not lying. Now, of course, Timothy had spent many, many years with Paul. Discipled by Paul, Timothy knows he's not lying. But this is to urge the congregation that Timothy is overseeing. Remember, Timothy is a young pastor in Ephesus. This letter went to his congregation. You know, things were kind of messed up in the church in Ephesus. There's a lot of spiritual warfare going on. The church was out of order in a lot of different situations. A lot of things had to be set straight. It's just the same today. And God just brings it back to the simple truth here. Don't neglect your prayer life. Don't neglect your prayer time with the Lord. And I'm so blessed when I get to teach the kids here at church on Sunday or Wednesday or whenever. My favorite group is the 7 to 12-year-olds, you know, because they keep me in check. They do. If we try to start a Bible study without taking prayer requests, you better believe that Pastor Ryan's going to hear about it. Hey, hold up. Hold up. No, Pastor. Prayer requests. Oh, yeah. That's important to the children. Wonder why that is. Faith like a child. Seems Jesus said a few things about that. Come as children. Knowing that God loves you, no matter where you're at in your walk with him, he is madly in love with you. And I mean that in the most deepest, reverent sense of the word. He adores you. And he wants to hear from his children. Let's pray. Father, we stand in awe, Lord, at your precious word, at the moving of your spirit in our lives, Lord. And Lord, we thank you tonight for this wonderful gift that we call prayer. Thank you that, Lord, we can communicate and talk with you. We can intercede for others. I thank you, Lord, that we can cast our cares upon you because you care for us. So, Lord, tonight, I pray that we, as we hear your word, that we would be doers of your word. Help us to apply this to our life. Lord, I pray just a special supernatural blessing, Lord, on my brothers and sisters here tonight as they step out by faith and maybe just up their prayer life a little bit more. Bless them, Lord. Because you've blessed me so much, Lord. You've blessed my prayer time with you. You've enhanced my personal prayer time with you, and I'm so grateful for that. As Peter said, Lord, where else can I go? Well, Lord, I cry out to you, where else can we go, Lord? You alone have the answers to every situation we're going through. You have the words of eternal life. As you tell us, Lord, that the heavens and the earth, they'll pass away, but the word of our Lord will remain forever. Lord, we love you tonight. And as we just meditate on your word this evening, help us to apply it, Lord. And we're going to continue to just lift our hearts and our voices in praise and worship you, to you tonight. We thank you again for all that you're doing. Thank you for your precious word, Lord. We thank you for your amazing awesomeness and your great love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's...